Okay, Pinball Party Podcast time. We're going to talk about how everyone loves Elton John. Man, how to take some reviews with a grain of salt, and then hot off the heels of last time, I guess a little more audio stuff?
Figure it out.
But don't get too crazy excited. This time the audio stuff is just me explaining what I've done, because I've had a lot of people ask, so yeah, let's get into it. You know, I'm sick of hearing, in the best possible way, I'm sick of hearing everyone talk about how awesome Elton John is by Jersey Jack Pinball, because I want to play it, and I don't have $12,000 to spend on the game. No shit. I've had equal amounts of people in the last week say, it's one of two things in the pinball world. If they're texting me and I say, oh, it's a pinball person, what are they saying? Or email. They're either going to say, I loved your last episode with David Teal, please more audio stuff. My humble brag of saying thank you, and it was awesome to have him on here. Fantastic, and thank you for enjoying the episode. Wait, thank you for enjoying? Thank you for the kind words. I enjoyed making it with David. David did as well. We talked lots more about audio before and afterwards and since, and by popular demand, I guess we'll do it again. But the message has either been awesome to hear from David Teal and agreed upon him being the shit, or the message has been, you got to play Elton John, it's so great. Both very positive emails, but I want to play Elton John, man. Let me just tie one thing off on... Is that a sexual innuendo? Let me say something quick about Jersey Jack before I move on to the segue I was about to use talking about the game being expensive. From rumors I'm hearing, and I'll leave it at that, save your money for an upcoming Jersey Jack pinball machine. if I had... Still looking for a job, laid off from the tech industry, as a lot of us have been. I need to get a job for two reasons. I still want to get a GR Corolla. It was an STI, and then it was a Civic Type R, but I've settled on GR Corolla, so let's get that out of the way. Those things are fucking so fun to drive. I need to get that, and I need to save up for Jersey Jack Pinballs. Is it the next game? I think it's the game after. They got a good license. They got some shit coming. Save your monies for a Jersey Jack game. And I am not like, I have no skin in this game. Clearly, I can't afford a Jersey Jack game. I'm you know, they're not. Save your money. That's all I'm going to say. Based on games I would like to play, I'm going to, if I ever get money to fucking save, I'm going to save it. So let me say that. Going back to Elton John of people saying it's incredible, which I don't doubt, because Steve Ritchie makes some of the flowiest flow games of all time. He knows what he's doing, for all intents and purposes. Maybe not Led Zeppelin. He knows what he's doing. Nothing against him, but you know what I mean. He knows what he's got a track record, all that. And Elton John, great musician. Jersey Jack, they put their heart and souls into games, and quality is not something they ever skimp on. Maybe the quality of how the flippers felt pre-Godfather. But the new flipper boards from... if anyone has an experience, please, can you email in pinballpartypodcast@gmail.com? Talk about your experience with the Jersey Jack, you know, the new flipper kit, whatever they call it. I'm sorry, the board to make the flippers feel not mush. I've read some stuff on Pinside, and some things sound promising, some things sound eh, but I really want to hear it. If anyone has first-hand experience... Please, please, please write in. I would love to hear more, because when I think about that, the fix of JJP flipper feel to like something more stern like, I would love to put that in a Hobbit. Oh boy, I would love to do that. But staying on that realm of so Elton John, I don't doubt that it's awesome, right? The music, you got that. You got the recipe. You got the creator. You got a pretty good theme as far as music concerned. I think music pins long term anyways are just not. I mean, they're. I don't think they hold people's attention as something as timeless as like a Disney theme or a Nintendo theme. Eh? Maybe Stern? Eh? Maybe? I don't know. You know, or Star Wars, stuff like that. But Elton John, not bad. It passes the sniff test. I agree with how that game can be good. But what I was getting to and saying it was $12,000, and that's a barrier. I guess saying this to myself, which I have to check myself on this, and to all of you because you're listening to me. I don't know why. You shouldn't be. Don't. A reminder of consider the source of who's saying a game is great. Not who, like, well, maybe. Not to discount someone's opinion. Opinions are, they're all valid. This is one earth, one existence. I mean, there's not like a book that says these people's opinions count, these don't, and then life's over. That's just, come on, get a little more existential than that. Opinions are opinions. But what the person giving the review, whether it's an entity, I say like a YouTube channel, a podcaster, myself, or other podcasts, media, writing, whatever, consider not just one, what do they have in it, skin in the game, right? Are they sponsored by that or what it may be? Of course, take that with a grain of salt. What is their motive behind it? Are they trying to push product? Are they trying to push listeners? Are they trying to get more viewership by saying outrageous shit? Stuff like that, of course. And I know you're always like, yeah, no duh. But also, how much are they having to invest to play these games? And by that, I mean the same kind of video game comparison I've used before. If I were to review a bunch of NES games right now, which honestly, if anyone is a fan of the Giant Bomb cast back in the day, now Jeff Gerstmann has his own podcast. He's ranking all the NES games of all time, kind of from the US. It's pretty awesome. Go check that out. Jeff Gerstmann podcast. But so to review games, something like an NES game where now it's just kind of free, right? To get a ROM and to emulate it and play it. Or if you want to pay for it, the Nintendo Switch Online, or there's it's much easier to just play ROMs. But things like that, video games that are either old or new, relatively cheap to play a bunch and review. Pinball machines is different, where to, if I personally, me, wanted to rate, all right, Elton John, I would have to take into consideration the amount that I am giving up to play the game. So roughly $12,000, or on the used market, I'm not sure what they're going for. That is a heavy aspect of that game and needs to be considered when, like, reviewing this game. And what I meant by consider earlier of who's reviewing a game, if it's someone or an entity or whatever that isn't having to put that money in to review the game, take it with a grain of salt. Because if I'm just like, oh, I review a game, I go out and play it, and like, I'm just, what do I think? Well, I would think that every single pinball machine is good. That's the baseline. Because I either go, I don't have to pay anything or a quarter or whatever. Just, what is this game? Is it fun? Yes, it's a pinball machine. I enjoy the hobby. Everything at minimum gets a C. You know, and then you compare from there. But if someone's, Elton John is just my example currently, but pick something, Venom or Foo Fighters, Rush, Godzilla, anything. If someone's YouTube channel or podcast or whatever it may be, does not have to invest this, let's say, time or money into this game, their review shouldn't really matter. And this is nothing against them. Some get to a point where they can be pretty objective, regardless. And I'm not calling anyone out. I don't have someone in mind that I'm trying to be vindictive about. But if, for example, an arcade owner that is making money off of a game, whether it's Elton John or whatever, Elton John is doing great, by the way, out there. Not even just from Electric Bat, from what I've heard, from a lot of places. They're making money off this game. So that's one review. Does it do well on location? Sure. Would they think that the game is a little better maybe because they're making money off it? Sure. Are they losing as much money as someone like myself who's more a hobbyist and a home buyer that's not using it as an investment, but I want to play the game for a while and then move it on, trade it, sell it? That doesn't reflect how me or my crew, for lack of a better phrase, or my subset of the hobbyist would be able to rank a game. Because if you make money off a game, your investment in the game, while equal in the beginning, you're getting a return on it. So like, yeah, hey, the game's great. It's doing this. Like, okay. But you have a location and there's nothing against it. It's just a different thing. Or if you're selling these games and you think all these games are great, you know, well, yeah, your investment, again, kind of your upfront investment is more than mine in a lot of ways, because if you're a distributor or someone else, yes, but a couple things. You got a hidden motive. Of course, you want to sell these games, or you know, this game's part of your whole business. So what is the game? And then there's those that pay attention to YouTube channels or who's ever streaming games. Like if the games are coming in and out quite fast, they either A, didn't have to pay for them, or B, had to pay very little or didn't have to do much. So essentially considering the review of someone who's not investing much in this, of saying like, yeah, the game's great. Well, yeah, you didn't have to give up anything. This game just showed up and you played it. Fuck yeah, it's great. What's some of my least favorite games? Aside from old Gottliebs, you know, games are just boring as shit. I guess one of the Led Zeppelin Pro comes to mind. Of if I'm just sitting here right now in this room and someone just shows up to my door and drops off a Led Zeppelin Pro and says, hey, you can play this for, I don't fucking know, an hour or 5 days and I'll come take it and leave. I'll be like, fuck, cool, man. For me personally, I'll never buy the game and maybe put a quarter in once in a while. But if it's just at home and like, what do you think? I'm like, well, it's pretty great. It's just a pinball machine. It's fucking, by default, it's a C. So, well, does it work? Yep. All right. It's a C+. Is it fun? So it's hard for me to think of people that say these games are awesome. I'm like, okay, but did you have to drive 3 hours to get it and pay money? And then when you have to sell it, putting all this time into an ad and taking pictures and making the ad good, dealing with fuckbags on the internet who want us, you know, well, you know, what's your best deal? And then they offer you $2 and they say cash on the glass and all that shit that, oh God, I'm tired of it.
Figure it out.
Did you have to do all of that work to get it and then tell me what you think of the game? If you drive 3 hours, deal with all the nuances of buying and selling games, you pick it up, you drive back, you stop at the gas station, you get your normal, you know, what you get. You got your, you know, you know what you got. You get what? You get a Diet Coke, you over there, and then you get an apple or something, or you get a bag of Fritos. I usually get a protein bar of a Quest or something. Then I get an apple. And then depending on the time of the day, it's either a water or a Diet Mountain Dew. You know, so you go get your game, you stop at the gas station or Arby's, you know, whatever you get what you get. And then on the way home, you're listening to a podcast such as myself, or listening to music, or chewing gum, or smoking cigarettes, or smoking weed, or the things, and you're very lonely, you know, you're in your car. That's fucking gangster. You know, that's who I ride with, that fucking grind. If you do all that, then tell me what you think of the game. And I'll be like, oh, okay. Of course, everyone's opinion is different. So if someone likes really easy games, they're like, Godzilla's the best game ever. And I'm like, it's okay, you know, versus someone like myself who prefers something a little more challenging and quick, Iron Man, Black Knight, Ghostbusters, that kind of stuff. But it's getting harder and harder. That's what she said, to take all these texts and everything I'm getting, not seriously, because I agree that Elton John is probably great and I would love to have it. Please someone drop it off. I'll review it and I'll probably say it's fucking awesome. It probably is. But if it was, oh no, Jason, actually first drive 3 hours, get the game and it's a Jersey Jack. So flip the coin of how much money you're going to lose. If you pay, I don't know. I'm not even sure, but you know what? I have the internet. So let me look on the internet of what an Elton John, pinball machine goes for. Are there even used ones? What PE? What the fuck is it? Elton John PE? Okay. It was just normal trim, right? 12,000 firm, 12,000 firm. Okay, so used market, 12,000. Okay, well, shit. Apparently that shit's holding. I don't know. Let me look at previous game. No, it doesn't matter. I know if I look at previous game sales, let's just say I could probably get one for 11.5, right? If you look and like, hey, I'll give you 11.5. All right. My dumbass drives 3 hours I pay 11.5 grand. I come home. I unload that heavy ass Jersey Jack pinball machine that no one will help me with. And fuck me, I gotta set this up. Then I decide, do I leave it in the breezeway, which is my basically the glorified entrance of my house, which I can keep a couple pinball machines in there. Jason's shithole, as Blake would call it. So the things that go through my head, all right, no one's going to help me. I got to get this thing out of my car. Do I put it in this room or do I bring it downstairs where it's like, it's more vibing down here where I am right now. You know, it's a fucking basement, but it's carpeted. It's half soundproofed. It looks real nice. It's by where some of the practice area is and whatever. It's a nice place, but then I have to drag down a 200 to 300 pound machine without an Escalera, not because I can't afford well, you know, I don't have one right now, but because of the way my basement is, even that doesn't matter. It's taking a machine down my house, kill me instead, is kind of the short, the TLDR there. The only games that make it down here going forward are, you know, Lord of the Rings number 9 or whatever, whenever I buy it, if I, or when I get to Jurassic Park again. Ones that are like, I will play this game for longer than 2 weeks. That's it. Otherwise, no games coming in. So again, I'm investing all this time. All this anxiety, this neuroticism of, well, where the fucking do I do the game? I get it out, and then, oh my God, when I list it, and then the whole time when I'm about to play it, I'm like, all right, how's the market every day? Is it going down? What are people like myself, other podcasters talking about? What are the pinball market trends? All that kind of shit. What are the prices changing? Oh, fuck, when do I sell it? Now, that is an investment in a game, and I would take that review seriously because this person had to invest time and money and energy, all kind of one and the same, if we're getting existential again, but into a game, like, all right, what do you think of the game? So if someone just gets a game delivered to their house, like, oh, that fucking game's great, or it's not that great, like, okay, you know, you're the let's say top 0.01% of anyone out there is experienced. That just doesn't happen. So I don't know. And, or, you're trying to sell it. Well, I don't know. Or you're making money off it. Well, I don't know. So do I really have a point here aside from it's getting harder and harder to comb through reviews of games, that are out there? Because there's kind of three main markets, I guess. There's the hobbyist buying and selling, keeping games at home, right? That kind of thing. There's the person who just goes on location to play. And then there's the kind of someone who has skin in the game, let's say, a distributor, an operator, a media person, myself-ish, kind of. I don't know. I try to be as neutral as I can. I will say, when you buy your games, buy from Flippin' Out. But that's neither here nor there. That's just because that's just correct. I can't buy games there. You know what? Here's how to be fair. You're just saying that because don't buy Led Zeppelin from Flippin' Out. Not because they're bad, because that game's shit. Don't buy Turtles unless you want a cheap game. Sometimes you want to buy Star Wars. When I don't want to buy it, do it. But when I do want to buy it, don't buy it. I'm hot and cold on that game. Currently still hot. Don't have any money. But Flippin' Out Pinball. Buy. From Flippin' Out, but don't buy Godfather. It's not selling well. It's not doing great. Don't. It is what it is. A lot of those things. Venom. don't buy Venom. Here's a pro tip: don't buy Venom Pro, Premium, or Ellie from anyone. But go buy if it's still there. There's a Foo Fighters Premium Flippin' Out pinball used. Man, good price. Go buy it. Buy. It's getting harder and harder to take these reviews. I don't know. And so what's the solution? Before, the solution was, all right, I guess I'll be a spokesperson for this used shit and keep driving 3 hours and buy that. Nah, bruh, I'm done. I can't, maybe not done, but that is tiring to do that. And then to like lose money and have to put in all this time and effort just to, so it's a strange, I don't even know what to call it. A landscape of pinball. It's, if I was okay, the three camps, right? The hobbyist, the buying and selling, right? Which, so for a Jersey Jack game, I'm like, I'm out. I just can't right now. On location, okay, I can't right now. There's nothing close to me. So if I wanted to, I'd drive 3 hours round trip to play a Jersey Jack game, but then it's on location and I can't fucking hear it. And it's a music pin. So what? This something is busted in this whole pinball world. These things aren't adding up. Hot off the heels of doing audio with David Teal last week. On location is... we're doing a music pin. I just don't... something's just not adding up. Yeah, I would love a better way to review these things. To make a better informed decision, because something that costs this much needs informed decisions. Looking at, you know, the video game world of IGN, Polygon, Eurogamer, GameSpot, you name it. I don't, there's tons out there. I'm an IGN guy, but I'm agnostic. You know, Metacritic. But again, it's all kind of grain of salt. When you see Tears of the Kingdom, it's a 10 again. Yeah, is it? I mean, Breath of the Wild was pretty awesome. Tears of the Kingdom is just more, but like convoluted, and you got to stick shit together all the time. And the buttons, like, man, trying to fit 50 controls in this thing. And it's coming from people who are paid to do it. I'm not jealous of the neutrality that they aim to target. But even if they had to pay for every game that they were reviewing, which in a way, they have to pay their time, it is nowhere near pinball, which, you know, leads a lot of people to become media things or to do things, like looking for ways to, like, subsidize some of the costs or what to do or make money. Because, like, I don't get me wrong, you know, like, do you think that offering up a Patreon, please, Pinball Party Patreon, recording, we missed it this morning, the deep dive in Jurassic Park, which is coming, part of the stuff, it's coming very soon. There's looking for ways, like, man, this hobby is asking a lot. It's asking a whole lot. Money for sure, time even more. Yeah. When all this is coming from, really, I just want more Jersey Jack games locally. Fuck, that's it. I just want more so that I can play them locally. I can go, I can put in 50 cents or a dollar. I don't give a shit, Jersey Jack, but drop ship a game to my city. I will put $5 a play for the first 10 plays. I just want to play the game. I'll put 50 bucks, you know. No, let's put video game money. So for the first 12 games, 14 games, depending if you're $60 or $70, I'll pay $5 a play, man. Maybe a little less, because $5 a play, sometimes a game would be 2 minutes. I stand by. The first 10 games, I'll put $5 a play. Find a way, please, make it a you problem, to get a game within my, 20-mile radius. Put it in my city, is what I'm saying. I'll play it. It's like where video games have evolved over time to provide it, to make it as easy as possible for the consumer to consume their content. Pinball is going the other way? Why? What the fuck is wrong with you? Not you as Gomez or people or Jack Guarneri. No, that's not what I mean. But you see the conundrum here of video games started out in the arcades, and they got smaller, and Atari and Nintendo and Super Nintendo and Switch. Switch, you know, like, how can we make it so you can literally take it anywhere? Or we can put it on your face, a MetaQuest or Apple Vision. What the fuck is that thing, huh? The bubble head. And then video games now have just become digital, and Best Buys have even stopped. You know, the writing's on the wall with digital, but man, is it nice to where, like, if I want to play, you know, the RoboCop Rogue City, okay, I'll go upstairs. I'll put in my $30 and wait until the 100 gigs downloads. And that's okay. That's even a kind of a barrier, because our time, our attention span is so whatever. Pinball machines, they're like, okay, fuck you. It's already expensive. We'll just raise the price even more. And I mean, I get you have to do that. But okay, well, it's on location. Well, they're not in all locations. So, like, maybe just certain locations. And, like, are you subsidizing any of these costs? Maybe I should be asking Kale and Rachel. Or Dave from Lumberjack Johnny's. Go check that shit out. Are you subsidizing some of these costs aside from giving them a banner and all this stuff? Like, I mean, when friends and people say like, oh, how much is that game? And you tell them like, cool, I'll never buy a pinball machine. Like, oh, can we go play a game? Well, yeah, you can't play it, but you lose. They're gone. The customer's gone. And it's gone. That's it. There's got to be a better way, right? That's probably where Multimorphic came in. All right. Went all over the place there a little bit, but the point is still the same. The barrier to entry in pinball is getting harder and harder. That's what she said. And it's becoming more financially stupid, I guess, for me, getting laid off. Like, well, that hobby is just kind of almost gone, but I would still love to play it. But if I play locally, I'm just playing a couple Stern Pros from 5 years ago. Ugh. Yeah. Okay, enough of that. Let me talk very briefly about audio, because all these positive emails, messages, whatever they may be from last week. Thanks again very much. And thanks, David, for joining. And a few people have asked for advice, I guess I should say, for lack of a better phrase, in many different avenues since then and before about audio stuff. And I can't get to everyone's requests and options because sometimes, like, honestly, like, you got to kind of pay for some of this stuff and the time and all that. So podcast audio, just a TLDR of this stuff. Like, what are you listening to me doing right now? I've had many people say, oh, your audio quality is great. Okay, great. And thank you. I don't think it's really any better than some out there. But for me, probably it's just like riding a bike, or for me, like, well, this is just what it is. So, you know, it's nothing. But I still do appreciate the fact that it sounds good. And I think that also means beyond doing all the meth inserts and stuff that sometimes I just don't have time for, which, you know, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not, and the songs and all that stuff. But if it's strictly like, what are you hearing right now? And I'll just tell you very briefly. I'm recording into a Shure SM7B. If you Google it, you're like, oh, that's like the broadcast mic out there. Yeah, it's like, I think $300 to $400. I forget. I never really pay MSRP for audio stuff because you get to know people in the industry. And one of my buddies owns an audio shop, and neither here nor there. But, you know, just like, that's how it goes. Shure SM7B into a Focusrite. Which one is this? I have a few here. Two i4. USB-C into a MacBook Pro. That's the hardware. That's it. That's it, right? Got headphones on. What do I have? Let me take these off. What am I using? ATH M50Xs, but in my house, I mean, geez. whatever. Sometimes in-ear monitors, sometimes whatever. But that's the hardware. And, oh man, that's a lot for a microphone. It is. The microphone is probably, if it might almost be the least important in a way. So for those out there, oh my God, like, what do you need? If you have like a $50 microphone, that'll be great. If you get a Shure SM58, which is kind of the sister or brother to this microphone, you'll sound almost as good as this. What this does is really accentuate like the low end. Like if I get in here, it's like, oh yeah. Oh, the velvet of my voice. Listen to my, you know, whatever. There's a proximity effect. The farther away you go, there's more treble, and the closer you get, there's more bass. Other microphones don't have that. That's the hardware. You can record into anything you want. Audacity, GarageBand, free, right? Audacity, Windows, free. GarageBand, Mac, free. You're done. That's all you need to worry about. What do I have beyond that? Which maybe some is what people hear, that like, oh, that sounds nicer or something. Okay. Well, I have in my audio chain. For those out there, what the fuck are you talking about is an audio chain. I'm recording into a program, and then a chain refers to like chain links in a chain, effects I have or plugins, and then together they make a chain. So I'm using four, what is in my chain, in order, and order does matter for those out there wondering in certain things. So from top to bottom, I'm looking at So I'm talking into a microphone, which is going into a interface, which has microphone preamps, and then it's communicating with the computer via USB cable, and you're like, yeah, shut up. Come on, get on with it. And then in the audio chain, we start with a gate, A gate is something that says when I stop talking like this, it will automatically silence all the little tiny bits. It says how loud are you, and you can control that. Like, how loud are you? When it reaches a certain threshold, shut the fuck up, stop recording. So you have to be careful with that. If you're a little too quiet, sometimes it'll even cut this off. But anyway, so I have a gate, and then I have an EQ. And I think this is where a lot of people just don't do, is they're not EQing their voice. And the reason I'm EQing my voice, and what am I doing specifically to it? I guess, hey, for those who want to know, EQ, what is that? What are you talking about? Equalization, the trebles, the mids, the bass, all that. I am cutting everything below 50 hertz at a 24 dB slope. And that is to anything like if I thump the microphone stand or something really deep, like a door closes and you'll hear a little donk, donk. I want to get rid of that. And plus, there's barely any of my voice down there. And if it is, it's just kind of come across as like sub bass woofer, right? Okay. I'm cutting everything there. I have a little scoop at around 218. So let's just say 200. I'm taking down a few decibels just because in the 200 and 500 range, you can get mud, as they say in the industry. Just stuff that, like, if I took it away, or if I left it flat, it would just sound a little less exciting and a little less just whatever. So I have a couple scoops just to take out a little bit of that mid-range. And then above 1 kilohertz, I have the steady slope to give myself a little more sibilance and sparkle and air, as they say. Yeah, and so that's the EQ. So I have a gate and then an EQ and then a compressor and a limiter. That's it. Well, so that's it on my vocal chain. We have a gate to keep it so when I shut up, you don't hear any small volumes. It'll automatically stop like that. Then I have an EQ to make my voice sound a little more pleasing. Then a compressor to, like, if I'm talking really loud, it won't, like, just fucking be crazy. And then when I'm quieter, it'll bring the levels up a little bit. That's what a compressor does. It tames the peaks, and it brings up the quiet stuff. So you've heard me talk about compressors, or David and I were talking about it last week. There's a lot of flavors of compressors because I'm using all software, but there's hardware compressors out there. They're mimicking hardware compressors. If a line comes in and the compressors compress or expand your audio, it's used in everything you ever listen to. I'm saying with a lot of certainty, not 100%, but most of whatever you ever hear, a song, for example, every drum has a compressor on it, every vocal, most, okay? It's just compressor is very common. So for those who aren't using it in your podcast or audio, compressor will help quite a bit. Tames the highs, brings up highs as in peaks, like loud, and brings up the low volume. And then a limiter is kind of like a compressor in a way. And listen, class, you don't have to remember all this, and that's not what here, but I've had enough people ask, so I'm talking about it. A limiter is basically saying, hey, when it gets past a certain point, just don't go beyond that point. It's like a hard compressor in a way. It just says like, nah, if you go that loud, I'm going to take you down. It's not really bringing stuff up, but you bring up the whole volume. Essentially, when you hear the term mastering audio, mastering is really bringing things up to like radio volume. There's other nuances, but there's the TLDR there as well. Bring it all up. So you increase the limiter, which just says bring it all up. But then if you get past this, when the crazy crash cymbal hits or someone screams, bring the volume down because you don't want to hear clipping or bleed people's ears. So in my chain, I have a gate, a channel EQ, a compressor, a limiter. And then for the whole track, beyond just my voice, I have a limiter as well. So when there's guests on, or I bring in MEF, or I have music, just in case I forget something, even though I'm usually paying attention to all the meters and the stuff, if it gets to a certain point, it brings it down. I haven't had to really hard limit much stuff, but that's what you're hearing. So there you go. And here, so you've been hearing me with all that stuff on, and most podcasts, I use a template. So when I start recording, this stuff's already set up. I don't have to touch shit, you know? So when a lot of people have asked, what should you do? What's a good tip? Make a template and save it. So you never really have to tweak anything. Here or there, you know, tweak it a little bit. Check the compressor. Look at the levels, right? Let's keep it in between -3 and -6. Let's get real with this, right? create a template so I never have to do much. But you've been hearing me with all that stuff in it. And for the sake of argument, let's hear me without it. I will say the beginning lyrics to Basket Case with, like you've been hearing, and then I'll say it without. Okay, here we go. Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? Do you have the time to listen to me whine about nothing and everything all at once? So there's a difference. If people want to know more things, I'm not able to answer every email that asks all those details. So hopefully that accomplishes a lot of the questions that people had. Beyond that, you know, honestly, if looking for jingles, looking for audio service, all that, it costs money. And that's just the name of the game. But thank you for all those taking the time to listen to the David Thiel podcast last week, me gushing more about Jersey Jack and talking a little bit about, you know, taking with grain of salt reviews, including myself. Check me. If suddenly I start reviewing every game as an A, come punch me in the face or be like, who bought you? And then we can either celebrate the fact that you got me, bitch, and I'll share some of the profits, or I will just stop doing this altogether. But again, there is a Patreon out there if you want to support the show, Pinball Party Patreon, link in the show notes below. If you have any questions, and further, if you have any experience with Jersey Jack's new flipper shits, please email in your experience at pinballpartypodcast@gmail.com. I would love to hear about it, and look for more stuff coming soon. See you guys later. This song's called Drone, by the way. Bye.